is it okay? Is it even right for me? Is this real? Like, can I just create jobs, or can I just like create this thing and do it? And I think that's so right. Like, that's the kind of narratives that we have going on our head. Like, this isn't real. This isn't right. This isn't a real job, but like, why not?
Welcome to The Career Flipper, a weekly podcast featuring career change stories from people around the world in a bunch of different industries about how they get from point A to point B, C, D, E, and F, and all the twists and turns in between. I'm your host, Jenny Dempsey, a career flipper myself. After more than a decade working in customer service and experience leadership for tech startups, as well as teaching two Udemy customer service training courses and speaking at business conferences, I got laid off. Despite my experience, I received hundreds of job rejections. I just couldn't find anything, and I really started to question my worth. What am I supposed to do now? Then a friend gave me an old junky table from her basement. Unexpectedly, I saw potential. I binged YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram videos to learn how to fix it up and found joy in giving something unwanted a brand new chance at life. And it turns out I'm pretty good at it. This led me to start my furniture makeover and restoration business, San Diego Furniture Flipper, where I rescue and restore good furniture to keep it out of the landfill. You can follow along with the makeovers over on Instagram or TikTok. Alongside Furniture Flips, I host this show and speak at events. Even after the cool things I've built in the last couple years, I was feeling pretty lost and unsure about my new direction. I mean, who really goes from the corporate tech world to being covered in paint and sawdust in their garage? So I reached out to a few friends who had also flipped their careers, and hearing their stories taught me that it's totally okay to switch gears at any stage in life. And it turns out there are way more people who've made career flips of all shapes and sizes, more than I ever imagined. And I'm learning so much from every single one of them. It's really awesome to be able to ask questions and learn from their experiences along the way. Needless to say, I'm taking a lot of notes. And I thought, if their stories are helping me feel less alone, maybe they will help someone else too. Like maybe one other person, maybe you. So that's why I created this podcast, to share these incredible stories and offer support to anyone considering, going through, or having already been through a career flip. So today's a special episode that I like to call a cocoon episode because it captures our guests right in the middle of their career metamorphosis. There's so much we can learn from their experiences, the highs, the lows, and everything in between, to just feel a little less alone on our paths. In this episode, you'll meet Danielle Lewis, a Texas native who's been living in Barcelona, Spain for 12 years. Career flipping seems to run in her DNA, and she takes us through her journey of navigating big choices and defining her own path. Danielle started out as a nutritionist, but soon realized that's not where her passion lies. After several career flips and moving abroad, she is now taking some time off and pursuing software development and currently enrolled in a boot camp. She's right in the middle of yet another change. And along the way, Danielle has faced feelings of guilt and shame and fear of being judged by others. So let's dive into her story now and hear how she's working through it all. Danielle, hi. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well. Thank you. It's great to see you and talk to you.
So good to see you too. It's been a while. Yes. It's been quite a while. I was actually, the last time I was out there was 2020. So pre-COVID. Really? Yes.
What's the last time I saw you?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's it. Mm-hmm. I did not realize. Yay. You're due for another trip.
Yes, definitely due for another trip. Yeah. Like share with everyone where in the world you are.
So I live in Barcelona, Spain, and have lived here for the past 12 and a half years. I'm originally from Texas. But took a kind of circuitous route through Nicaragua and then ended up in Spain. And I've been here, like I said, for over a decade and I love it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, with the kind of, you know, the journey that you took and the different paths that you've chosen, like, I am so excited to have you share more about your career flips and what you've experienced and how you've made choices to, you know, kind of determine this path and where you want to be. So I'm just going to let you take it from here, Danielle. Share your story. Let's hear it.
Okay. So you said career flips, which is very accurate because there's been a few. So I originally studied, I did my undergraduate in nutritional sciences, and thought, well, did end up working as a nutritionist for a couple of years in Texas before I left. But kind of like when I was leaving university, by the time I was already graduating, like, I'm not excited by this. I'm not loving the options that I'm seeing for career paths, but kind of felt like at that time, like, I just did a 4-year degree. I just studied this. Like, I kind of this feeling where you have to find a job in the thing that you just studied, because otherwise what was all of this time and money for? So, got a job in nutrition, as a nutritionist, and worked at that for a couple of years and just solidified the fact that I didn't like it. But in the meantime, I always knew that I wanted to go into the Peace Corps. So at the time I was also working towards getting into the Peace Corps. And so that was kind of my main goal. Luckily, my background in nutrition and kind of health in general is a great skill and attractive to the Peace Corps. So that also helped me get into the Peace Corps. So then I went to the Peace Corps and I was in Nicaragua for 2.5 years and was continuing to work in the health field. But again, like, was not my passion, let's say. And I just kind of knew that once I left Nicaragua, that wouldn't be what I would be continuing my career in, but I didn't know what it would look like. So when my 2.5 years was up, I kind of just knew that I wanted to continue traveling. That was where I was at. I'm not ready to just go back to the United States and get a job and that be it. I just want to keep traveling. So my initial plan was to go to South America and teach English or do whatever I needed to do to make money to continue to fund my travels. But I ended up meeting a Catalan guy in Nicaragua, and we fell in love. And so he needed to come back to Barcelona, where he's from, to finish his study. So I came as well. I was like, well, if I'm going to teach English, I can do that in Spain as well. So that's what I did. And that was my like next career, quote unquote, for the next kind of 3.5 years. I did a teaching English as a foreign language course when I got to Barcelona, and then was able to find work at academies, teaching English to adults and also to kids after school, and then doing a lot of private lessons as well. And that was really great for a time. And then, and it was exciting. Again, it was something new. It allowed me to stay in Spain. It was all really great for a couple of years. And then I kind of just got a feeling like, again, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. I find it enjoyable to a point. I didn't have any kind of proper training, I felt like, as a teacher. So in terms of classroom management with children and things like that, it was very difficult. And I didn't feel like that was where I really feel like that's a calling. I feel like that's a really special skill that people have to be able to teach children, and I don't have it.
So yeah,
I'm kind of thinking, what can I do? I speak Spanish, I speak English. So then I thought maybe I can get into translation. I took a translation course. I did a lot of studying to do like Spanish to English translation. After I finished that, I was looking for a job, and I found work at a tech company who was looking for native English speakers. It was a brand new tech company, and they were looking for native English speakers. And it seemed to me like, oh, well, maybe I'll be doing some translation. I'll be doing content creation. It kind of seems in line with where I'm at right now. And it ended up not being that at all. But it turned into something, it changed kind of the trajectory of my career. But I ended up being kind of on the team that became the customer care team, but we were just a super small team at first. Everybody was doing everything. Became the team that was the customer care team for this app, which was for selling secondhand things. It was called Let Go. You may have heard of it, but something similar to OfferUp, I think, in the US or something like that. So then I worked in customer care for 4 years, I think, or three. And then again, kind of just felt like, again, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And this was my first exposure really to like a tech company and to apps and things like that. And I saw that the product team and how they were working. And I was working with customers, like with our users, helping them use the app. And so I just got really into thinking about how the app works. And wanting to be more in the development side. So then I moved, and the company was like really great about that, helping people move around. So I got to move over into the product team. So then I was working as, began working as a product manager for the past, I think, 5 years, moved companies. And that was, again, really exciting for a while. I got to see more of how the apps were being built. I got to work with the development teams, and it was really great for a while. But then I just slowly started to realize that it, again, it's just not for me. I think a little side note here. I think also it was my parents are both kind of late job changers. They both kind of reinvented themselves in adulthood when my sister and I were children. So I think I kind of maybe found it easier to do that, or found it more normal that, like, okay, well, this isn't working for me, so I'm going to try something else. Uh-huh. Because I saw my parents do that. So I guess I definitely took that to heart. So I just keep changing jobs. But anyway, but what happened with product management, it was like, I felt like I was so close to being like, close to finding what I was really interested in. But this was just wasn't quite it. And it was very high stress. And I got to a point in my last job where I was just really, really, really unhappy, and really getting to a point where I was unhealthy as well. Like, just very depressed, really overwhelmed, really stressed, and kind of feeling like, what's the point of anything really? Like, this can't be all there is. Like, I can't just, you know, have to go to work and hate what I do. And then also it's just kind of like this, I don't know if this has happened to you, where you start to feel guilty about, I have all of this privilege. I have this wonderful job. It's well paid. I work with wonderful people, and I'm miserable. And I felt so bad about that. I felt just like a shitty person for not being happy with the opportunities that I had and the privileges that I have. Yeah. So I also had to kind of deal with that, allow myself to feel that, and allow myself to realize that it's okay to not like something, even if it's wonderful.
Right.
It wasn't wonderful for me, you know, it wasn't working for me. But it took me a while. It took me probably about a year to kind of get to a point where I like allowed myself to think, because I guess it, for this particular job, I mean, in other jobs it had been quite easy for me to make a change. I think with this one, there was more like shame or something attached to the change, because it's the type of job that most people are trying to get into. Exciting, fast paced. It's usually well paid. Like, it's a lucrative job. And so it's like something that a lot of people would like to get into. And I'm kind of saying like, oh, I can't hack it, or I can't do it. Maybe I'm just not good enough. There was a lot of like all of this kind of shame things around it as well. But finally was able to just say, my well-being is more important than a job, or than like a job or a job title. So decided to leave the job and take some time off. So I'm now a year and a half into time off, which has been really, 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 really great. It took me probably like the first 4 months or something to feel like a human again.
Yeah.
Really burned out. Just kind of a bummer to be around, really. Like, I felt bummed, and I felt like a bummer to be around. But just really just kind of frazzled and burned out. So this time again, very privileged to be able to do that. But yeah, it took some time off, to think about, well, to rest, and then to think about what I needed and what I wanted. So what I kind of really realized is that what I'd been dancing around this kind of whole time, like with wanting to get into more of the development side of apps and like technology in general, was that I actually really liked like software development. So when I was in product management, I was working with the development teams, but not as a developer myself. I mean, I didn't have any technical skills. So I kind of realized like that's the part of my job that I liked the most, and that I was always kind of like trying to find out more about, but I didn't have any technical skills. Decided to start looking into boot camps or some kind of training that I could get to be a software developer. But again, had to kind of confront some like things in my head about that. First of all, like I just kind of was telling myself, and I didn't realize it for the longest time, but kind of telling myself like, you're not smart enough to do that. You're definitely not smart enough to do that. Like, that's for smart people. That's for people that are good at math and that are like, in, you know, engineering type minds. And I don't really have that type of mind. So I had to kind of fight through that. You know, and that's true. Like, I'm not great at math. I don't have like an engineering kind of necessarily mindset, or like the typically, like engineering mindset, but I enjoy studying it. And I don't know, I had to kind of think like, that's enough. like, go for it. So I decided to, yeah, sign up for a boot camp. I'm learning full stack development right now. I'm kind of halfway through a boot camp right now, and then hoping to work as a software developer afterwards. Yeah, that's kind of brings us to the present.
Thank you for sharing all of that, because I mean,
my life story.
No, it's so great to hear such like the ups and downs, right? And like the things that you're in these situations. And well, first of all, I want to take a step back and just jump. The fact that your parents modeled that this was acceptable for you is really, really cool. And I could totally see how that set you up for, you know, making these choices. And while there is, you know, you mentioned the shame and the guilt, and I have questions for you about those as well, but I think it's just to have that modeled for you in a society where typically it's not as welcomed. Like, I know my family, like my dad worked the same job for 40 years, same with my grandpa, same with my uncle, same with my aunt, same with my mom, you know, like everyone did these things. Like, you do one thing and you do it well, and it doesn't matter if you like it or not, you just do it. And I just kind of grew up with that. And I think that's why I might be having a harder time, you know, with some of the things where it's like, ooh, is this okay? Is this even real? Like, is this a real job? Can I just carve and do what I want? But I, you know, when you were sharing your story, the things that came, so I want to talk about that feeling of it not being right, you know, and this kind of like you, because you mentioned this, you know, you're here and you're doing one thing and then you get this feeling and then you kind of, it brings you to the next step. Like it's a guide, you know, in a way, and it brings you to the next step. And then you're here and you're doing this for a while and you're like, yeah, but this isn't right. And you feel it again. Can you talk more about what that feels like? Because it doesn't happen. It's just, I'm guessing it doesn't happen. I could be wrong, but it's not just you wake up one day and feel it. It's like progressive, right? It starts a little bit every day and you just realize, yeah, this isn't right. And certain things happen. You also mentioned, you know, who you are, like how you show up. You might not be the most fun to be around because you're feeling, you know, that you're kind of stuck in something. So can you talk a little bit more about what that like was like for you in those moments? How does that show up for you?
For me, I think it was a feeling of, I think I would start to try to imagine my life stretching out from here to, you know, the next 10, 15 years of, you know, how 20 years, however long I have to work. And I say have to work because reality, I'd love to just not work. Yeah. That's what I mean. But I have to. And it just being in situations where like, gosh, I just can't imagine doing this for 20 more years. That sounds awful, really. Or you start to feel kind of stagnant or stuck. Yeah, those are kind of feelings I would start to feel. And yeah, thinking about also just kind of motivation, like, do I care to learn more about this particular field or subject to, you know, become more of an expert to, so that I can continue to progress? It also became a kind of a sense of a question of motivation for me. Like I would lose motivation because I found that I just didn't care anymore. And it makes me wonder, that might just be part of who I am. Maybe I'm just someone who likes to change jobs every 5 years. So we might be talking in another 5 years and I've left software development behind. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of interesting too. I've been exploring that. Like social media kind of helps me with that. Actually, I see a lot of different people talking about career changes I've made or what they're like, and kind of, it's helped me to kind of accept that maybe that's just how I am, and that's okay too. You said something about like, is it okay? Is it even right for me? Is this real? Like, can I just create jobs or can I just like create this thing and do it? And I think that's so right. Like that's the kind of narratives that we have going on in our head. Like, this isn't real. This isn't right. This isn't a real job, but like, why not? Like, why can't we just be as creative as we want and just invent new jobs for ourselves or new things to do. And I think that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree. I think it's like one of those things where when you're doing things a little bit unconventional, or maybe like, and in my case, it's probably just me too worried about what other people think. And that kind of leans into this, you know, and it goes the guilt. There's also guilt with that. 'Cause there's another part of me that's like, you know, you mentioned, for example, having, you know, you have the job that is desired by so many people and you are not happy. You're not fulfilled by it. You're not learning and challenging. You really sound like the type where you love to learn and you love to be, you know, enriched by, you know, the new things that are brought to your attention. And that really, it sounds like that really like lights you up and, you know, and then you learn a certain amount and you're like, cool, I'm on to learn the next thing or, you know, whatever it might be. I'm kind of picking up on that a little bit. And I feel like certain things like, you know, is this a real job? There's, you know, I'm caring too much about what other people think, but at the same time, I'm like, we all have these creative ideas in our heads. And if we give them a little bit of energy and make them into something, you know, that that's totally perfectly acceptable. And it doesn't necessarily have to be this big thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that for even people who have a job and that they're maybe not happy in, but they're not yet ready to make the leap. They could still do something, you know, if they want on the side. And so feeling those feelings of like, I'm in this situation, I'm not happy. And I know this is someplace that somewhere, you know, someone really wants to be. And I think that that's perfectly natural and normal to be able to like acknowledge that guilt, which I'm glad that you acknowledge that, because stuffing that down, is not like, and the shame you also mentioned. And I just think like, it's so important to acknowledge that we feel those because after 350 job rejections at this point, I felt for a while, like, wow, there's something wrong with me. I feel really ashamed that I can't get this job, but here I am creating these other things. And it's just kind of like being pulled in multiple directions, but ultimately going back to, you know, what you've mentioned, this core part of who you are, that it's okay to change and it's okay to do things your own way and to create things your own way. So I don't know. I was kind of picking up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I will add that I think maybe getting a bit more, this change is maybe a bit harder for me because I'm getting older. I'm 41 now. And whereas before it was like, oh, I'm in my 20s, I'm in my 30s, I'm figuring things out. And now I'm 41. And again, like another layer of kind of like what I should be doing, or kind of layer of shame of like, I should have things figured out by now. but again, that's just a lie I'm telling myself, or a lie we're told, or kind of some narrative in our heads. Cause I just don't know. So maybe some lucky people do have things just all figured out, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I agree. I doubt it. I think we're all just, we're trying to figure out as we go. I don't know if anyone, at least the people that I have chatted with throughout these interviews, we all don't know what we're doing, but we know ultimately that we're called to do something different. Like it's not, you know, where we started. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be different. And I think then we just kind of are like, right, let's just jump in and figure it out. Let's learn how to swim as we're like building the pool and filling it with water. Like, let's just,
see where this goes. And it takes, it takes a lot of courage, I think, to do that. Courage and what we've said, like creativity as well, kind of like giving yourself license to dream outside of the box, so to speak, about like what could my life look like if I just was wildly imaginative. Let's just do something different, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the courage, do you think that kind of comes back to, you know, the guilt and the shame and just like feeling, you know, it's so scary to do something like that, but it's so much, and it's so hard to sometimes break out of where you're at and make those decisions because you're like, well, this is a great job. And like, for some people that could hold them there forever. Like this is a great job that everyone else wants. It's not necessarily what I want, but everyone else wants it. So I'm going to stay. And it's kind of like, ooh, how many people are in roles like that and just stay? And there's nothing wrong whether or not they choose to stay or go, like no matter what, but it's kind of like the guilt sometimes and that shame can hold us in place. Maybe I've been reading a lot more Brené Brown lately, but like, I just feel like it just resonates to what you just said, like the courage to kind of break out of, you know, this shame spiral in a way. Let it go. Let it be yeah. what it is and get really vulnerable. I feel like in order to make yeah. changes like this, we do have to, we make ourselves into a really vulnerable place.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Cause it is hard sometimes too. Like you said, mentioned about worrying about what other people think. And I definitely do that as well. And this last time, like I realized that I was nervous or, embarrassed to tell some people that I had decided to do this because I was thinking like, God, what are they going to think? Like, uh-huh. what is she doing? She's in her 40s. She's starting a coding bootcamp. She's going to be a brand new developer at 40. And I, you know, would kind of let those thoughts come in. And again, you just have to like, ignore them, I guess. I don't know what to say. I can't say that I yeah. have totally quieted them because I still, you know, have fears about
yeah.
everything all the time. But, I guess just do it scared, really.
So. Yeah, no, that's totally it. And that resonates so much because it's the same. They're not quiet. When I tell people, like, they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I flip furniture and I host a podcast. Wait, what? Like, that's not real. Like, okay, yeah. when you get it, that's a fun hobby. Like, I get that sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And it's like, but... And then the thoughts and the triggers of feeling, you know, all of the things that you just mentioned come into play. And it's like, they're still there. They are still there, but I am still going to move forward because I believe in myself that I deserve better. Or maybe it's not even about deserving. It's just like, I'm choosing better simply because yeah. I can't go back to where I was. I've been there, done that. The thought of working a 9-to-5 job again in an office just doesn't resonate with me anymore. Right. 10 years ago, I probably couldn't ever imagine myself saying that, but we grow and we evolve and we have different experiences that teach us things. And yeah, like it just, yeah, that really resonated. Yeah. One other thing that, you know, when you took the time just recently, you know, year and a half ago, and you made the decision and you mentioned that it took about 4 months to really like kind of unravel a lot. And I think that stood out to me because it's not like, again, it's not this overnight thing. It's not like you're just, you know, like when you're working and then your boss is like, okay, you can take a vacation and then you'll feel better. Like, no, it's not about the one vacation. Like it takes months. Sometimes it takes a really long time to go through, you know, in a way it's a grieving process and to navigate that and unravel a lot of the old stuff. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts about or sharing more on that of like that unraveling of who you were to where you're going to go and that middle, you know, you're kind of in that transition period and being okay with it, being uncomfortable as you figure mm-hmm. it out.
It just took time. I'm trying to think of if I did anything very specific. I think it was just rest and then a lot of just wrestling with my own thoughts. So the kind of the thoughts we've been talking about already, like shame, guilt, embarrassment. I don't know, wondering what other people are thinking. And then just kind of wrestling back and forth with those writing, you know, kind of like my, I don't know, subconscious is telling me, you know, these like you shouldn't have quit or you're going to end up on the street, like some very extreme things that sometimes my mind tells me to try to protect me, I guess. But then also, you know, using my logical mind and kind of thinking like, what do I really think about this? And then eventually it becomes more true. I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but it's like kind of having these conversations with myself and realizing what is going on unconsciously, like under the surface, like all these like anxieties and fears that are there, but I'm not really listening to them. So I don't know quite what they're saying. And then really listening to them and they're telling me like, you're going to end up on the street. nobody's gonna like you anymore because you keep changing jobs. Like that's an exaggeration. I didn't think that one, but I really did with like have fears about like losing all my money and having nowhere to sleep. And I mean, crazy things that just, you know, thankfully aren't going to happen because I have a safety net of family and friends that aren't going to let me sleep on the street. So I had to kind of confront those things and say, that's kind of silly. So we don't have to be nervous about that anymore. So then let's like start addressing some of the maybe more real thoughts. What can we do now? And mostly I think it was just time. Like I was really just so wound up and so stressed that I just needed to relax.
Exactly. The time the time to have those conversations with yourself to really like, and not just have it be a couple hours and then you're back at work. Like you're actually able to give yourself the time to think about it and then rest. I think that's,
and yeah. And for exactly. And for that to sink in and be, and become real, like, cause yeah. you, like you said, like if I'd, you know, taken a vacation and maybe I could get through some of that on my vacation, but then I'm just mm-hmm. right back in it. Yeah. After a week or after some days and have that extended.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's so interesting how that happens. And sometimes like, I don't know, after I got laid off, it was probably maybe like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months later, like for years, I didn't have dreams. Like this sounds so silly, but like I didn't dream like, or I wouldn't remember them. Or if I did, they were very short, but I don't know. It was about 4 or 5 months after getting laid off and kind of like, there were a lot of ups and downs, more downs than probably ups at that point where it was still pretty early into it. And I started to like, but I was also resting a lot and also doing a lot of that, like that thinking and trying to figure out next moves. But the resting part for some, all of a sudden, like I started to have dreams again and I was like, wait, what is going on? Like I'm waking up remembering things. I'm like, this is so weird how things start to happen. When you give your body rest and you kind of remove some of these stressors, not to say that you're not still stressed because it definitely yeah. was, but it was in a different way. And I don't know that. So when you said that and the resting and unraveling, like it really just like hit home because that yeah. is something that has been part of my journey. And it's just so wacky where I'm like, I didn't ever think that like, I wasn't like, I didn't think that that was, you know, the inability to dream was caused by, some stress that I had stuffed down. I just thought yeah. it was, but yeah.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. And you'd probably been, yeah, kind yeah. of in that state for so long. You don't really realize kind of yeah. like how wound up you are. And
right. Right. Stress. Yeah. Right. Stomach aches or headache yeah. or yeah. little things. Like you just don't realize it until suddenly you're like, oh, they're not here anymore. What is this?
Yeah. Oh, I don't have to live like that. Okay.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, Danielle, thank you for sharing so much. And, you know, you're in it right now. Like you're taking the boot camp, which is amazing, by the way. I'm so excited to, you know, continue to see how things progress and what you do with your talent. Like you know, knowing you, you put your, you know, you're so intelligent and you put your full self into whatever you do. And then, you know, if you decide to change, lucky them, because whoever gets to have you around next, like that's going to be such a gift. So thank you so much for taking the time to share, you know, because you've shared so much. I'm sure people listening might have questions, or just, you know, want to continue to cheer you on. How can people find you? How can people connect with you?
LinkedIn, I think, would be the best. Just my name, Danielle Lewis. I'm not that, like I mentioned social media. I am a consumer of social media, but I'm not a big poster or anything like that. I don't share a lot, so.
Awesome. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your time. I'm so glad to have you share, and I wish you the absolute best.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Career Flipper. Be sure to connect with Danielle using the links in the show notes. If this episode gave you a little boost, share it with a friend who can also use some inspiration. Rating and reviewing the show helps more than you know, and hitting that subscribe button means you'll get more amazing flipping stories like Danielle's every Thursday. Your support helps me reach more career flippers and those dreaming of making their leap, spreading all the good vibes and motivation we all need on this journey. And if you're looking for a career flipping speaker for an event, want to sponsor an episode, or just want to drop a line and share your story on a future episode, swing by thecareerflipper.com. I'd love to hear from you. What I love most about doing this podcast is the hope that it might inspire you to go after what you're dreaming of, even if it feels really scary right now. I know it's hard to take that first step when the fear of the unknown holds you back. But if I could ask one thing of you, it would be to put your shoes on, take a deep breath, and just take that first step. You never know where it might lead. And I don't know, I personally believe you can achieve whatever you want to set your mind to. So keep on your path, my friend. What's the best that could happen? Talk to you next week.